Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
You'd always be staring up at the sky watching cherubs burn, or the heavens bleed, or some nonsense.
You ever see the sun come up over the Rockies? And you swear you're looking at heaven.
I'm Jim Burns. If you're a Christ follower, well, you know that heaven is where you'll live one day. But there's also a good chance that you really do not have an idea of what your life will be like once you get there. Sometimes the pressures of dealing with real life here and now can keep us from thinking about what our eternal home will be like. Well, that's why I want to take the next half hour or so to look at some of the most common questions people ask about heaven. Joining me today on the program is Randy Alcorn. Over the past couple of years, Randy has become a widely recognized expert about heaven. And he's with me here today to answer the question, what will heaven be like? It's going to be a great conversation. Randy's an incredible man. So stay with us today for Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is a very special day for us. We're going to talk about heaven, believe it or not. And Randy Alcorn is with us. Now, I am a groupie of Randy Alcorn. I'm just going to admit it. He's a former pastor. He's a leading authority on heaven, but also just a great writer and a great guy. He's currently the executive director of Eternal Perspective Ministries. He's written books that have really transformed my life in many ways. The Treasure Principle, Safely Home, and many other books. So Randy is with us today, and I am so happy that you're going to get acquainted with him if you're not. Randy, welcome to our program.
Jim, it's a pleasure to be with you. I enjoy this program, and it's great to be on it again with you.
Well, I am so happy we could be able to talk about heaven. You know, we don't really talk much about heaven as Christians. I mean, when I was a pastor, I talk about heaven at funerals and things like this, but we spend very little time talking, and for many of us, even thinking about heaven or what it would be like. Well, why is that?
Well, it's funny because you're absolutely right. We will allude to heaven. We'll say, you have to know Jesus to go to heaven, or grandma died and went to heaven. But we never talk about what heaven is. We never kind of explain what we're talking about. And I think the reason is because we have this basic misconception. We think of heaven as this disembodied state, a place where the angels live, a place that's really not suitable for human beings, and therefore we must be transformed into just spirit beings drifting around in the clouds, strumming harps, although I don't even know how disembodied spirits would strum a harp, but that's what we reduce it to.
I was actually hoping for drums for me. I can't play drums, but I instead of harp.
But you know, that is so foreign to Scripture. That is based on the Greek idea, the Platonic idea, that the material world is bad and that the spirit world is good. So the ultimate will be to be delivered from that bad material world. Well, the Bible has a very different take on that, the correct take, and that is that God created this world. You know, the devil did not create this world. God created it, and it went bad. It went bad, though, because man failed to be the righteous steward God intended him to be. And he said to the first man and woman, rule the earth, take dominion over the animals, over the earth, and it's like, rule it to my glory. And the first two people who lived on earth are the only ones who ever experienced that. And then they sinned. And since then, the earth has never been fully ruled to the glory of God. Well, what we think lots of times as Christians is that somehow God's plan was changed, altered, ruined by Satan and by human sin, when in fact the redemptive work of Christ is designed not simply to save our spirits out of this bad world and take them off somewhere else to an angelic realm to float around, but to redeem us, to resurrect our bodies, and to resurrect the earth itself in what's called in the Bible, Old and New Testaments, the new earth, so that we can reign over the earth as God fully intended from the beginning, but actually do it righteously in a realm where there's no more curse, no more death, no more suffering. And so all those passages about what does it mean that we're going to reign with Christ? If we're floating around, who's reigning, doing what, and eating, drink, and Abraham and Isaac coming from the east and the west, what does this all mean if you're in a disembodied state? Well, none of it makes sense. But when you realize that we are going to reign over the new earth as Christ's representatives, then it all comes together. And now heaven becomes a very exciting place and a place that people can look forward to.
Well, it is amazing when you said that, because in that mouthful, you actually described things that most of our listeners would not have understood. I was telling you before the program, I read your book, Heaven, which is a best-selling book out right now, one of the better-selling books in the Christian world. And I learned things. I have a theology degree, and I learned things about it. Why do you think that the secular world is very interested in talking about these spiritual mm-hmm. issues, but that we don't teach this? It's very seldom, at least my own experiences, I very seldom have ever heard a pastor preach mm-hmm. on this or give us understanding on this.
Well, right, Jim, and I went through a wonderful Bible college and seminary. Love them, would highly recommend them to people, and have, but I was taught nothing about the new earth. And really very little about the present heaven or what's called the intermediate heaven in theology. But I think the reason is, again, we have these improper assumptions, so why talk about it? What's to say? I mean, if it's this realm of floating around and nothingness, then number one, it's not appealing, and we generally don't want to talk about things that are unappealing. And number two, what can you say? A lot of people take a passage of Scripture completely out of context, 1 Corinthians 2:9, which actually in its context is not talking about heaven in the first place, but eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Well, that's the most classically quoted heaven verse. Well, the problem is not simply that it doesn't deal with heaven per se, but also it's contradicted if you go on to read what it says next. What eye has not seen, ears not heard, neither have entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. In other words, what he's saying is the secret wisdom that was hidden, God has actually revealed in the Word of God. So I was actually working on this book, had a pastor friend say, well, what are you working on? He said, I'm writing a book on heaven, big book. It's going to have a lot of, theology on it and all that and this kind of stuff. He says, well, in light of 1 Corinthians 2:9, which he quoted to me, he says, I guess there would really be nothing we can say about heaven, right? Because eye hasn't seen it, ears not heard it, neither has entered our heart. I said, but you left out verse 10. You stopped. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. So even if you take it generally to be able to apply to heaven, which some people do, the point is it says the opposite of what we say it does. I've had people quote Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Okay, well, how is heaven a secret thing? Of course, there's all kinds of things about heaven God hasn't told us. Those are secret. But the things he has told us, especially what he's told us about new heavens, new earth, resurrection, all of that, we should expect to be able to discuss that. And it also fails to complete that verse. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. And our children have really missed out on a great sense of heritage and eternal destination with heaven because we've maybe failed to teach them because we failed to understand ourselves.
We've probably not talked about it. We say that grandma's going to heaven, like we say, but that's about it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask two words. So what?
All right.
All this good stuff, but what does that matter to the typical family who's just trying to survive? They're trying to survive financially. They're trying to survive relationally. How does that make a difference in their life? We'll be right back. Randy Alcorn with us today. We're talking about heaven, and we're so privileged to have him with us today.
It's always a pleasure to welcome Randy Alcorn to the studios at Homeward, and Dr. Jim Burns talking with Randy today about a most important topic, what will heaven be like? From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marshworth, the midpoint of today's edition of the broadcast. There's more to come in just a moment as far as the interview goes, but remember, if you miss any part of one of our programs, we are streaming audio at homeward.com. Just hit audio archives, and you'll see our daily half-hour program, our weekly half hour, our weekly full hour edition, and also our Homeward snapshots. Those are very, very interesting and useful. A lot of youth pastors contact us and ask if they can take that 60-second audio sound clip and use it as a conversation starter in their youth groups, to which we say, absolutely, please do so. And if you'd like more information on those, you can send me an email, roger@homeward.com, or just go to homeward.com and browse through the archives, and you can listen to all those different audio resources that we put up there for you to listen to absolutely free. You'll find them at homeward.com.
If you're a parent, one of the greatest gifts you can give your children is not for sale, and it has no price. In fact, I don't think there's any way to possibly calculate its value except to say that without it, none of us would ever survive. I'm Jim Burns, and today's Homeward Snapshot is a beautiful picture of a mother giving this precious gift to her daughter, of a father instilling it in the heart of his son. The average human being can last a couple of weeks without food, that is, as long as there's access to water, but I challenge you to live even one moment without hope. As one psychologist put it, hopeful children are positive about the future because they have overcome problems in the past and they believe they can do it again. I hope you'll log on to our website at homeward.com and download a free copy of a brand new article I've written on this important subject of hope, because the Ministry of Homeward is committed to encouraging parents and building families. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Randy Alcorn with us today. We're talking about heaven. We're also talking about how this applies to you and your family, but also to your spiritual life. Randy Alcorn is currently the executive director of Eternal Perspective Ministries. He lives in a beautiful spot, Gresham, Oregon, with his wife, Nancy, and they have two married daughters. Randy, as we were talking about heaven, two words came up to me. I think a lot of times people just say, well, so what? What does this have to do? You know, new heaven, are there angels? Are there harps? It sort of doesn't matter because I'm having a hard enough time getting through today. Mm-hmm. So why is it important? Why do you see that as important?
Well, I tell a story in the book, Jim, of a swimmer, Florence Chadwick, who was on Catalina Island, and she was making the swim to the coast of California, and it's like 21 miles or something like that. And she's swimming, but she's in the fog, you know, and she can't see through it. She's just weary and discouraged. She finally gives up. They pull her into the boat, and it turns out that she's less than a half mile from the shore. And the statement that she makes the next day is, I don't want to make any excuses, but I think if I would have seen the shore, I would have made it. And I think that relates very directly to the way we think about heaven, because scripture teaches that we're going to face very difficult times, very hard times, and an eternal perspective is what God can use to take us through those times, still rejoicing and still hoping and still anticipating that the best is yet to be. People in this world sometimes, even for instance, a lot of us have elderly parents. My wife's father just died recently, the fourth of our four parents to go home to be with the Lord. So we've walked through with each of them, ailing and getting older and losing their memories and struggling physically and mentally. Okay, now, the temptation is to think these people are past their peak. And the biblical truth is that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have not passed your peak. You haven't reached your peak yet. The world to come where we will live as resurrected beings, how wonderful it is going to be. And I think that if we look just with blinders on to the present and we say, oh, well, I'm just struggling with this stuff. Don't talk to me about the sweet by and by. Well, no. What we need to do is what 2 Peter 3 says, which is we are looking forward to a new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. And then he goes right on to say, and in light of these things, what kind of people ought you to be in terms of life and godliness? In other words, it's a motive to purity. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for our lives. God is going to reward us. He won't overlook so much as a cup of cold water given to a needy one in his name. God is watching our lives, and he wants to be able to say to us, and what could be better than to hear these words? Well done, my good and faithful servant. To me, that is energizing, and it actually helps me day after day to get through the hard times.
Boy, that makes a lot of sense. Now, you said a phrase, went home to be with the Lord. When they died, where did they go?
Okay. Scripture teaches to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord for people who believe in Christ. Paul says in Philippians 1, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Okay, better by far than what? Well, than living here in a sin-stained world under the curse where there's death and suffering and things are not as God originally designed them. But when they go to be with the Lord into the presence of Christ, as wonderful as that is, and as far better as it is to be, you know, delivered from sin, it's still prior to the resurrection. And so we don't know the details, though I've got several chapters in which I take things like Revelation 6, where it talks about the martyrs wearing robes in heaven and looking down and seeing what's going on down on earth and saying, how long, O Lord, before you bring justice and all this. And so there are certain conclusions we can make about what life is like. It's certainly conscious. Today you shall be with me in paradise, he said to the thief on the cross. It's not soul sleep. It's none of that. It's alert, aware, rich man and Lazarus, again, alert, aware in both heaven and hell. But then there in heaven with the Lord, we will still be looking forward to the return of Christ to the earth, and we'll return with him. He's going to set up his kingdom, but regardless of your position on the millennial kingdom, and there's a lot of different ones out there, the fact of the matter remains that he teaches we'll live forever in a new heavens and a new earth. So the future, the present heaven is actually going to relocate. And Revelation 21 says God's going to bring the new Jerusalem that's in the present heaven down to earth. And it says God will come down and dwell with his people and live among his people on the new earth. Mm-hmm. So some, I guess a way to summarize is that often we think of as you said, going home to be with the Lord, leaving this place to go to God's place when we die. And that's true right now. But ultimately, God will then bring us back from his place, and he will come down forever and live in our place, made for us. And the incarnation of Jesus Christ wasn't temporary. It's eternal. We'll walk the new earth with Jesus Christ, the risen Christ.
Now, with that incredible news, why are so many people afraid of death? Even wonderful Christians, they don't want to die.
Well, one, they don't know that. Or, you know, I mean, I had somebody say to me the other day, actually it was Ron DeCiani, the painter, and we were working on a book together, and he said, you know, Randy, I read the Heaven book, and I said, I know this is all true, but somehow it hadn't sunk in with me. Mm. And when it sinks in with you, then you start saying, yeah, the best is yet to be. This is not a theory of, see, sometimes I think, Jim, what we end up doing and what we end up teaching our children is that, okay, if you know Jesus, you'll go to be with him when you die, and there'll be no more pain and suffering. So we think of heaven as characterized by the absence of bad things.
Yeah.
But Scripture portrays the ultimate heaven and earth as the presence of good things, being in the presence of the resurrected Christ, eating and drinking with him for all eternity. I think if we grasp that, we'd be so motivated, and we'd think and talk about it all the time.
Sure. You know, it's interesting because before the program, we were talking about a mutual friend of ours who said he read your book, Heaven, and said, it made me want to die. And you and I both laughed. But in reality, when we understand heaven, there should be a desire to live to the fullest on this earth, but also to be absolutely excited about the possibility of being with God.
Yes, exactly. I mean, Scripture teaches that we will see God. We will behold the face of God. I mean, we'll fall on our knees and worship him. And what a glorious thing, because God is the primary source of all joys. All other joys are secondary and derivative. He is the fountainhead of joy, and the lesser streams of joy, as C.S. Lewis once put it, flow from that fountainhead of joy, and they are then distributed out, and so we enjoy those secondary joys, but they're all based in Christ, the primary joy, which is the horror of hell, because God will withdraw his presence. No God, no good. No God, no joy. And we will be filled with God and surrounded by God, and therefore filled with joy and surrounded by joy.
Well, that is something that I look forward to, and I hope our listeners do too. There's so much more. I've got to ask you to come back next time so we can keep talking about
this.
Great. We encourage you to join us again for the next edition of the Homeward Broadcast. If you podcast along with us, you can just jump to the next day's release. But if you're listening to us on the radio, tune in tomorrow, as they say, as we continue this conversation. Dr. Jim Burns talking with Randy Alcorn, the author of the book Heaven and Heaven for Kids. And we're asking the question and answering it too. What will heaven be like? Homeward is here to equip you to answer these questions for your kids, because this is important for us as parents to set the tone. And having a conversation like this that's
meaningful, of course, that's spiritually accurate, but also that's very practical, too, because, Jim, I think about the way kids learn these days with so many different multimedia influences, and one of the key words that I always think of when we talk about Randy Alcorn in a topic like this one is he does such a good job of making this so practical, something that kids can actually start understanding right away.
Boy, he did. He's absolutely practical. A moment ago, I had said in our conversation that I'd actually studied theology in graduate school, and I feel like I had a course today. It made sense. I have to be honest, I haven't focused on the issue of heaven like Randy has, but it was great today, and I'm really glad because it helps us understand this eternal perspective. We kept talking about that. It's one thing to know facts about heaven, but really, in fact, it is about having the eternal perspective. You know, on average, we're going to live, what, 75 years or so, 75 trips around the sun, and we don't focus on eternity. We focus on what's happening tomorrow, today, I'm hungry for lunch, whatever it may be. I have a friend who is in Atlanta, and he was talking about financial planning, and he said people will focus on 3 months or 3 years, but he said in financial planning, you really want to focus on 30 years. I went, wow, that makes a lot of sense. As Christ followers, we don't want to focus on just 3 months, sure we do, on 3 years, 30 years, but really 30 billion years, because compared to today, eternity is what we should be focusing on. I was thinking about Paul, and Paul had a philosophy in 2 Corinthians 4:17, where he said, "For the light momentary afflictions that we bear are producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." Well, Paul here had the eternal perspective. One of the reasons why he was so able to communicate so well was because he had this eternal perspective. It's about making sure that we live one day at a time for Jesus, and at the same time, we do have this eternal perspective, and what a great thing to know that we are going to be in heaven. Heaven is a real place, and it's going to be anything but boring, and these truths that we learned even today are things that we as parents want to pass on to our children as well.
Absolutely, and one of the things that we are privileged to be able to do, your prayers and financial support of Homeward enable us to create curriculum, to do video series, to all sorts of different things that we can make available to you. Many of these resources are available without cost. There are some that have a cost attached to them. Dr. Jim Burns has two books in particular I want to highlight. One of them is his most recent book, Faith Conversations for Families, which is a very practical, small book that'll take you through step-by-step how to have what we used to call family devotions. And then there's another book too, 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family. These are 10 principles that are time-tested and studied, actually, to prove that if you want solid family relationships, these are the building blocks that you want to follow. If you want to order either or both of these books, you can do so through our online resource center at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com. Of course, these and every other book Jim Burns has written, available at your favorite Christian bookstore as well as online. But we encourage you to check out these resources, especially pertaining to today's conversation.
Well, thank you, Roger, very, very much. The materials we make available each day here on Homeward are designed to encourage you as a parent so that you can go about the eternal business of building your family in the Lord. And each time you contact us, you're letting us know that we're connecting with you and that we are equipping your family with tools you can use to strengthen the key relationships in your home. And every day we think about the types of programs that we want to put on and how they can help you. And so you got to let us know if we're clicking with you. Also, your financial support is one of the many ways you encourage us here at Homeward. So please know how grateful I am for your partnership, especially at this time of the year. You can make a tax-deductible donation. You can go to homeward.com. You can make a donation online. You can even mail us in a check. We still take checks in the mail. Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Well, be sure to join me again next time when I'll continue my discussion with Randy Alcorn. Our subject will be, what will heaven be like? And you won't want to miss our conversation on this subject because it's a topic your kids have a lot of questions about. So join us here and get some answers. Till then, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.